Anyone have any, you know, questions or comments before Robbie starts up? Oh, who have you got there, Carrie? It just looks like a big ball of fur. I can't even tell what it is.
Yeah, that's Mocha.
Mocha. Hi, sweetie. Is that Mocha on you now, Christine? He's gorgeous. Oh. Yeah, whenever we have Zoom meetings at work, I always love seeing everyone's pet. And little kids, you know, people have these, like, everything from babies to teenagers at home with them right now. So it's fun. And who have you got, Mike? The dachshund. Hi, gorgeous. Oh.
Mojo.
Mojo. We got Mocha and Mojo joining us tonight. Super cute. Karen, your hair looks good. Did you get a cut?
Yes, I did. I got
awesome.
I got highlights. I found out that when it's short, it actually has like this curly bit. So it didn't used to. This is like an old age thing.
It looks really, yeah, my hair keeps getting, believe it or not, when I was a kid, it was straight as can be. And yeah. The older I get, the curlier it gets. Oh, there's Robbie. Hey, Robbie. So real quick, I don't really have any major announcements. This is class 4 of 6 for transforming problems. Hopefully everyone has found everything they need online. But if not, certainly let me know. And then I don't want you to miss out on an opportunity to join Painting the Stupa. If you're able to do that, just go to the Kadampa Center website and look for the Sign Up Genius to sign up to help paint the stupa. That's like such a cool opportunity. And then also, I think Robbie mentioned last week, we have Don Hendrick joining us. Oh gosh, my mind just blanked on the date. End of August. Yes, I think it's the end of August. But go online and check those out as well so you can join those.
Yeah, he starts right after the class ends. Yes.
Thank you, Robbie.
We end in two Mondays from tonight, and then he starts on Tuesdays. Yeah,
right.
Wonderful teacher based in Santa Fe, Westerner who studied the Dharma for a long time, but travels the world usually, but he'll be on Zoom from Santa Fe for, I think, every night for 5 or 6 nights. Highly recommended.
And those are the only announcements I had, Robbie, so feel
yeah.
free to...
Yeah, those are the only ones I thought of. Yeah, the stupa painting is... a unique opportunity, and the slots are limited each day because only
right.
a certain number of people can be there to maintain
right.
social distancing, so you do have to register, and a lot of the slots for the first week are already filled up. We're anticipating it'll take 2, maybe a few weeks longer.
Right.
So
one more thing, Robbie, real quick. I do see a message from Crystal. She's joining us, new to this class, so that's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm. You are welcome
no
to join us. No problem.
Okay. Great. So good evening, everyone. Welcome back. As Linda said, this is the 4th of 6 classes in the Buddhism module, Transforming Problems. We're meeting from 7 to 8 on Monday nights. And after tonight, we'll have 2 more sessions. We're using as our text the 8 verses of Thought Transformation, which is a text written by Longri Tumpo. It's quite short, quite pithy, and it's in the readings for this class that you can access through the website. And if you are not sure how to do that, you may probably a good idea to send Linda a message, but she can explain it to you individually. So we're just going through these 8 verses. We'll do verses 5 and 6 tonight, verses 7 and 8 next Monday night, and then the last Monday night we'll do an overview and a little bit more meditation than we've gotten to do in some of these sessions. So Let's begin with our prayers, if you can bring those up, Linda. And I will read these if everybody else can read along, but put yourself on mute because the feedback and lag can cause chaos sometimes. You're muted, Linda. Are you saying something? Linda, you're muted. Are you trying to talk to us? You're talking to yourself.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was saying that every time I get it pulled up and it comes up just fine, and then everyone's here, and then I can't.
Okay.
I have them now. Sorry about that.
Okay, thank you.
Here they are. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, so these are regular prayers. We'll begin with taking refuge and generating bodhicitta three times in English, four immeasurables three times in English, and then the short mandala offering in English. I go for refuge until I'm enlightened to the Buddha, Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By the merits I create through listening to the Dharma, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. I go for refuge until I am enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By the merits I create through listening to the Dharma, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. I go for refuge until I am enlightened to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Supreme Assembly. By the merits I create through listening to the Dharma, may I become a Buddha to benefit all sentient beings. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends or hatred for enemies. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends or hatred for enemies. May all sentient beings have happiness and the causes of happiness. May all sentient beings be free from suffering and the causes of suffering. May all sentient beings be inseparable from the happiness that is free from suffering. May all sentient beings abide in equanimity, free from attachment for friends or hatred for enemies. And short mandala offering. This ground anointed with perfume, strewn with flowers, adorned with Mount Meru, four continents, the sun, and the moon. I imagine this as a Buddha field and offer it. May all living beings enjoy this pure land. Idam Guru Ratna Mandalakam Niryatayami. So now we'll follow our prayers with our first meditation. And Linda, after we do this meditation, I'd like to bring up the text of the eight verses, but not until we've done our meditation. So I imagine most of us are sitting in chairs. Some people may be on cushions. Whichever you've chosen, check your posture, beginning with a straight back, not rigid, but a little straighter than you normally sit. If you're in a chair, you're not leaning back in the chair. If you're on a cushion, you're towards the front third of a cushion. Your head is straight on your shoulders. Eyes are either slightly open or very lightly closed. Tongue is on the hard palate behind the upper teeth. Shoulders are down and a little bit back, so the chest is open. Upper arms are away from the sides of our body. And right hand is on left with thumbs touching slightly below the level of our navel. And if we're sitting in a chair, our feet are flat on the floor. It's fine to put a cushion underneath our feet if we need that to support them. If we're sitting on a cushion, our legs are crossed in any of a variety of positions, but one that feels comfortable and steady to us. So take a moment now, scan your posture, identify any sources of discomfort or tension, and address those now so that they don't become a distraction during the meditation. The point of the posture is that it's self-maintaining, so that once established, you no longer have to worry about it during the meditation. So we're really getting rid of those possible distractions coming from bodily discomfort or tension. And having established our posture, we take three deep breaths from the abdomen, the stomach expanding on the in-breath and contracting towards our spine on the out-breath. And we allow our breathing to return to its normal pattern. And as we did with the prayers, we begin by setting our motivation, generating the bodhicitta motivation, the wish to become enlightened so that we can be of benefit to others. It may not come naturally or easy, but that's okay. We're training our mind to think in that way. It's like riding a bicycle. It's very difficult and awkward at first. But with time, it becomes completely natural, a part of our being, not something that we even need to think about. So just think for a minute. I am doing this meditation and participating in the discussion to follow so that I can become enlightened in order to benefit others. And having set our motivation, we now begin the actual meditation. We're just going to do a concentration meditation, placing our awareness on the physical sensation of the breath moving in and out through the openings of our nostrils. Not the sound or the taste. Just the physical sensation of the movement of air. Nothing more, nothing less than that. The mind placed on that. And every time when we notice our mind has wandered off to another object. And this is what we mean by mindfulness. We become aware that we've wandered off and we bring it back to the movement of the breath over and over and over again, as often as needed. And we can end our meditation by doing a brief dedication. We can rejoice that we've done something positive, even if it's just sitting quietly with our mind for a few minutes. And we understand that this has made a positive impression on our mind stream. And we think, may that positive energy not be lost, but may it ripen in our mind in a way that will be of benefit to all living beings. And you can relax your concentration. And if Linda can pull up the 8 verses of thought transformation. Thank you. And this is 8 verses of thought transformation by His Holiness the Dalai Lama. Really, this is his translation. It was actually written by Longri Tampa, who was a great master in the 11th century AD. And these were not his original thoughts. He was synthesizing this from the teachings of his masters, Shantideva and Atisha, and ultimately it went back to the Buddha, but it's kind of a Cliff Note version of this whole area of teaching called Lojong, L-O-J-O-N-G, which is a whole group of teachings by the Buddha and the Buddhist masters. And this is a very pithy summarization of the content of that whole area. So let's read this together. You can leave yourself on mute for now, but I'll read it. Let's read it out loud. It's good to become very familiar with these. Determined to accomplish all success, I shall always practice holding dear all sentient beings who are more precious than wish-fulfilling gems. Wherever I go and whomever I accompany, I shall practice seeing myself as the lowest of all, and sincerely hold others dear and supreme. In all actions I shall examine my mind, and the moment an unsubdued thought arises, endangering myself and others, I shall face and avert it. Whenever I see a being of wicked nature who is overwhelmed by heavy non-virtue and suffering, I shall hold him dear, as if I have discovered a precious treasure difficult to find. When out of jealousy others treat me badly with abuse, insult, and the like, I shall practice accepting defeat and offering the victory to others. When someone I have benefited and whom I have great hopes gives me terrible harm, I shall practice regarding him or her as my holy guru. In short, both directly and indirectly, I offer every benefit and happiness to all my mothers. Secretly, I shall practice taking all their harmful actions and suffering upon myself. With all these practices undefiled by the stains of the superstitions of the 8 worldly dharmas, by perceiving all dharmas as illusory, I shall practice without grasping to release all sentient beings from bondage. And you'll find other translations, but they're all fairly similar. And as I said, these are the teachings on thought transformation. This is one of the... These are teachings that we can use right here and now. We don't have to wait till we've become a bodhisattva or till we've developed an understanding of emptiness. This is Buddhist cognitive therapy. It's changing the thoughts that we have in our mind, discarding those that are troublesome, upsetting, that cause us to be unhappy, and replacing them with thoughts that are calming, clear, stable, and cause us to be happy. And we can do this. This is not just, as I said before, the power of positive thinking, just telling ourselves that things are wonderful when they're going to hell in a handbasket all around us. We can do this because of the nature of our mind, which is something I think it's always good to come back to in all these modules as we examine the teachings of the Buddha. And that's why in the first module, it's always the nature of the mind. Our mind or consciousness or awareness, according to the Buddha. Am I too dark? Do I need more light on me? There.
You can do a little more light.
Okay.
It's getting a little dark.
Yeah, okay. The mind is said to be clear. It's like a vast, clear sky. The thoughts are like clouds that pass through that space. The mind is not the thoughts. The mind is the space in which the thoughts arise. So we may think that our mind is permanently angry or depressed or irritable. And the Buddha says, no, that's not true. That's not the nature of the mind. Those are just thoughts occurring in the space of the mind. And he's saying it's very possible to train yourself to have different thoughts. When you see person X, instead of irritation automatically arising, a warm feeling arises. Okay? Instead of jealousy or envy when you see somebody getting something you want, a feeling of rejoicing can arise. And that happens through practice. Okay, practice makes perfect. It doesn't seem, like I said, it's like riding a bicycle. It's very awkward and artificial when we start. But with practice, those thoughts become spontaneous. And that's what arises continuously in our mind. And we find that our mind becomes happier. So this is something that we can work on right now, every day. We don't have to be sitting on the cushion. We can practice it when we wake up in the morning and we turn on the news and we're irritated or pissed off about something. We can say, okay, I'm going to set that thought aside and replace it with something that makes me happier. It doesn't change what's out there, okay? We're not changing and things like, oh, isn't it a great world we live in? Isn't COVID just the most wonderful thing ever to happen to humanity? We're not changing that. What we're doing is changing our reaction to it, okay, so that we can deal with difficult situations in a more positive manner. So that's really the whole part of these teachings on thought transformation. And we've gone through the first four, so tonight we're up to 5 and 6, which are a little bit simpler maybe. I don't know if you can say simpler. Next week we're going to talk about 7 and 8, and there's a lot of material there. I was just thinking we may not get through both of those next week. We may have to let a little of that spill over into the last session. Okay, so number 5 is, when out of jealousy, others treat me badly with abuse, insult, and the like. Okay, another word that's used for jealousy here sometimes is out of envy. Okay, when out of envy or jealousy or resentment, others treat me badly with abuse, physical abuse, verbal abuse, insults, and the like. Okay. I shall practice accepting defeat and offering the victory to others. Let me read that again. Let's see. Here's another version. When others out of envy treat me unfairly, with scolding, insults, and more. I think that's a good word to put in there, unfairly. We'll talk about that. May I accept the loss upon myself and offer the victory to others. Okay? Unfairly is a interesting word. It's because when we feel like we've been treated unfairly, okay, that's when this sense of self or I is said to be very strong. It said that when we're falsely accused of doing something that we know we didn't do, there's a sense of I that arises. And that's a very good time to identify that, according to the Buddha, false sense of self, that kind of projected solid sense of self. It really doesn't exist if we look closely. That's a good time to identify it. So when out of others, when out of envy, others unfairly treat me badly with abuse, insult, and the like, lots of times now our initial reaction is to give it back, give back what we've got, okay, to strike back, to show that we're stronger, say, no, you're wrong, I'm right, because blah, 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 and blah, or to abuse them verbally back. You call me stupid, how about you, okay, or and the like. That's our natural reaction, which again is not part of what our mind is. It's just a reaction that we've practiced many times in the past. So it comes up very quickly. Okay, so the Buddha's beginning saying, whoa, step back. When somebody attacks you unfairly, okay, not just fairly, but unfairly, don't go into your automatic response mode, which is to treat them with same, but practicing accepting defeat, accept the loss upon myself, and offering the victory to others. Now, I think what the Buddha is talking about here is the mental attitudes that we have. It doesn't mean when somebody says, you are the stupidest person I've ever encountered on my life, and we actually say, oh, you're right, I agree with you. It means that maybe we're just going to not react back and say, no, I'm not, you're wrong, but have a little bit of a different reaction, say. We can say, you know, that's just a thought, okay? That has no solidity or basis. That's that person expressing their thought. We can just accept what the situation is, okay? We can just hear that and not react automatically. We can just accept that that is what's happened. We don't try to reject it. We don't try to push it away, okay? We don't try to deny that it happened. We accept that. We accept that, okay, something that wasn't what I expected happened here. Somebody's attacking me unfairly. Okay, I can accept that. And offer the victory to others. Now, what does that mean? I don't think that means that in every situation we give way to what the other person wants to do, or that we automatically agree with them. Okay? But I think it means we offer to them, again, this is my interpretation. I think everybody needs to work with this on their own and try and figure out what the Buddha meant here. We can offer the victory means accepting that that is who that person is. They are acting under the influence of their karma. If it seems unskillful, that's their karma. I'm having this person attack me because of my karma. We're both sentient, i.e. limited beings. We both want to be happy. Okay, this person who is unfairly attacking me is just as much as I myself, someone who wants to be happy, however unskillful they may be, however unskillful I may be at reaching that goal. But we offer to them the wish, may you be happy. May you be free of suffering. And I think that's really what that's the way I approach this. Offering the victory is offering to them in return the wish, may you be happy. May you be free of suffering. May you realize as quickly as possible your potential for enlightenment. So instead of offering back anger, abuse, in the same way, we offer back to them something much greater. And this doesn't mean we have to go through life telling people that. That might get us locked up fairly quickly. But that's the mental attitude. We're talking about thought transformation. Okay? we may not have the wisdom to put those thoughts into skillful action, but we're working on transforming our mind, the way we think, so that when someone attacks us, we offer back to them the wish that they be happy, that they be free of suffering. And that's what I think of as offering the victory. It's not saying, oh, you're right, you win, another, that's another victory for you. I don't think it means that at all. It means we're offering back to them something really wonderful. Do we have any comments or questions here? We'll go to a brief meditation. Maybe you can type them into the chat after the meditation. So let's just think, sit quietly for a moment. Quiet our minds, couple minutes, seconds on the breath. And now let's bring to mind someone in our life who frequently attacks us or criticizes us or tries to one-up us. If it's not somebody in your life currently, somebody in the past. I think all of us have encountered people like that. And if possible, bring to mind a specific situation that you can remember where this person attacked you or criticized you unfairly. And now let's think how we would normally react in that situation. What would our thoughts be? How dare you criticize me? I don't deserve that. Why do you always attack me in this way? What's wrong with you? This is not fair. And now let's take a step back, set those thoughts aside, and let's respond to them differently. They've attacked us. Our mind stays calm, focused, and we think, this person is acting out of their karmic imprints. I am experiencing this because of my karmic imprints. This person who is attacking me wants to avoid suffering and wants to be happy. I want to avoid suffering and I want to be happy. May this person be free of suffering. May this person be happy. Let's just stay with that for a minute, thinking, this person who we've chosen to meditate on, may this person be happy. And just stay with that thought. Thank you. And you can relax your concentration now. But that's how we actually begin to transform our thoughts. We meditate on it, and then we practice it in our daily life, and it actually does work. We actually can begin to change our responses, drop our automatic habitual responses and replace them with something that's more effective. Okay, we've got a comment from Crystal. Let's see. Well, we got a couple comments. Okay. Crystal's new, but she's joining in the discussion. Glad. Let's see. Sean says, so when we feel we are being treated unfairly, our automatic response is self-cherishing. Yes. All these thoughts that we've trained ourselves in so well that we're working to transform with the Lojong teachings of the Buddha are based on self-cherishing. Okay. This clinging to this sense of self and wanting to serve it. And, self-cherishing is referred to as the enemy. It's so damaging to us and our own happiness that it is our greatest enemy. So if we can see the disadvantages of self-cherishing and the advantages of cherishing others, a thought transformation becomes more effective. And then Crystal says, yes, I agree on your interpretation of the text. Basically, we aren't relinquishing our love and care for our feelings, but we are turning their hate back to them with a sense of love instead of the anger that may come up from the criticism they're dishing out. Yeah. Okay. Karen says, I had a lot of resistance and even anger when meditating on these ideas. And this week during meditation, I started thinking that the other people are just me in another lifetime. And it's much easier to have compassion. Okay, that's a very interesting thought. Thank you. And Lana says, practicing sin this week has given me a watcher on my right shoulder. Yeah, that's a good image also. And a listener on my left, trying not to respond, think habitual response. So I've been a lot quieter. Yeah, that's interesting, Lana, because all these meditations, it's the mind watching the mind. So we do have a watcher either in our mind or on our shoulder and a listener. So that's good. And then Joyce says, I had an experience of being attacked by email. Ooh, email. That's a hotbed for a lot of thought transformation could come up there by a previous school friend. And I really had to fight the urge to write back with hateful comments. I didn't respond, and now that I'm glad I didn't. Now, that's the very basic level of Buddhist training, okay? And this is what Venerable Rabina says. She sums it up inimitably as, zip your lips and keep your hands to yourself, okay? You know, we can't be bodhisattvas, we can't be great Buddhas right off, but at least we can stop saying hateful things, and we can stop doing harmful things while we're working on transforming our mind, okay? But the very basic level of training, because we know it creates negative karma that will cause us to suffer, watch what we say, watch what we do. And with the thought transformation teachings, we're watching what we think and replacing it. And if with more positive thoughts, and if we change the way we think, our actions and our speech will automatically follow. Okay? I mean, we can fake saying nice things, but if we're still having angry thoughts, we haven't accomplished anything. So silence is not necessarily golden, but is a good first step sometimes when we're in these difficult situations. Yeah, thank you for all those comments. So now we will go on to verse number 6, which is somewhat similar. It's in the same area. Thank you, Linda. Okay, let's see. When someone I have benefited and in whom I have great hopes gives me terrible harm, I shall practice regarding him or her as my holy guru. Okay. So this is, I did this for you, and I did that for you, and I've always acted this way around you, and you turn around and stab me in the back? How dare you do that? Okay? Someone, you know, we think we've done everything possible, kind and generous, and what happens? Our expectations of what should be doesn't happen, okay? We thought if we did this, it would automatically cause this other person to act like this. We're very attached to people acting in certain ways. And if you think about it, it's actually pretty manipulative. You know, you think, oh, if we do this A, B, and C per person, they're going to think I am wonderful, and they're going to love me for the rest of my life, and they're going to just think I am the greatest person. There's absolutely no guarantee that when we practice generosity and patience and kindness and everything like that towards other people, that they're going to respond in a like manner. Okay. There's just no logical basis for that expectation. But we're very attached to it, and it certainly causes us a lot of distress. I mean, this can be really, really painful when we're incredibly emotionally invested in a relationship and we expect the other person to act in the way that we fantasize. We expect our fantasies are going to come true because we did all these things. Well, it doesn't work that way, okay? So the first, if it does work, that's great, okay? But we need to develop some reasonableness and a little bit of, not an I don't care attitude, but a little bit letting go of our attachments, our clinging, our expectations that things are going to happen this way. So when someone who has done all these wonderful things stabs us in the back, which is a phrase some of us really love to use. I mean, it really, there's a real great sense of self when I say, he stabbed me in the back. I mean, that's just the lowest of the low. And I am so kind. I mean, the sense of self is really powerful when we think that way. Instead, I shall practice regarding him or her as my holy guru, as my teacher, okay? As someone who is teaching me a wonderful lesson that I apparently needed to learn, okay? That person, that may be a Buddha, that other person who's stabbing me in the back. They may be treating me this way out of infinite kindness because their wisdom, they know that's what I need to speed me on my way to enlightenment. Now, it may not be true. They may just be a real asshole, so to speak. But we're talking about changing our mind, okay? We think this is not going to change that other person, their actions, what they did to me, okay, but we're dropping this resentment and saying, rather than this is someone who is so ungrateful, saying, this is a teacher, okay? Gets back to the first one, you know, it is dependent upon people stabbing me in the back and stealing my last penny and contradicting me all of the times, that I develop the qualities that will lead me on the path to enlightenment. Okay? So we're not changing the actions. We're not even really saying by any conventional sense that what that person did was the right thing, but we're changing the way we react to it. Rather than resentment, this is wrong. This wasn't supposed to happen. This was not my fantasy. We stay calm for a moment. Okay? We let that thought, which has no reality, we let it just fade away. It may have arisen. Sometimes just acknowledging that it's there causes them to dissipate. Sometimes resisting them causes them to persist. So we let that thought pass, that cloud close to the sky, and another one arises that says, wow, this is a really useful experience for me. I can really benefit from this. I mean, it teaches me what reality is like, but this is really showing me my attachments, my clingings, okay, my holding on to a way of things being a certain way and being incredibly frustrated when I don't get my way. I mean, it's really, when you think about it, it's really depressingly infantile almost to think that we can manipulate other people in this way, that they're just little machines. If we do A, B, and C, they're going to do D, E, and F in return. You know, life is not that simple. Okay, and other people are not that mechanistic. So we can take whatever comes back to us and practice saying thank you. Having an attitude of gratitude. And that may seem incredibly artificial right now, but this is a way we can train our mind to think, to respond to unexpected situations where we don't get where we want, where we don't get what we planned on happening. Okay? So let's take a minute and meditate on this one. Let's see. Okay, yeah, you need to. It's about, okay. Again, just a couple seconds on the breath. Bring to mind a specific person, either someone in your life currently or someone in the past, who you labeled as ungrateful, someone who did not act the way you expected them to, someone who stabbed you in the back, someone you thought was a friend or a loved one and who did you wrong. Bring that person to mind and the specific thing they did, the specific situation where you responded with incredible hurt, felt like a very personal attack. And now set that thought aside. See this person in front of you. Really visualize them standing in front of you. And say to them very simply, thank you. Thank you. That was a wonderful teaching you have given me. I am very, very grateful. And you can relax your concentration now. And I know that may have seemed very difficult for people, and that's okay. No problems there. Let's see, comments. Let's see, Naga says, I still feel these have to be rephrased, smile. Okay. that's perfectly okay. You may even want to sit down and see if you can rephrase a couple of them, if they're ones that don't seem quite to jive with your experience. No reason you can't give it a try yourself based on your understanding of the teachings of the Buddha. Any other comments? Okay. Let me just remind people, we have two more classes. I'd like you to sit for six nights this coming week. Meditate on each of these three times. You can either alternate back and forth, or you can do three days on one, three days on the next. Continue with the readings. Should be able to finish them up easily within the next week. Next week we'll go on to definitely verse 7, which is Tonglin. It's the practice of Tonglin. So that may take the whole session next time. I don't know if we'll get to all of 8. There's a lot of 8, but if you're familiar with Tonglin, that's what verse 7 is. So Tonglin shows up here in the Lojong teachings. It also shows up in the Lam Rim. So it's a very important teaching that's widespread throughout all the teachings of the Buddhists. And Naga says, yes, she's going to. Okay, great. Any other comments or anything for the chat? Okay. This is from Helen. How does this apply when gift giving? I give to a specific person that doesn't even acknowledge the gift. Is my search for acknowledgement same as need to be thanked? Well, that's a good question. I think there very well may be some self-cherishing in there, and I'm not criticizing you specifically. I think we all, you know, when we do something nice, we have attachments to how we're acknowledged. So just sit with that and think about that. That's very much in line with what this verse is about. Yeah, sometimes the response may just be nothing, okay? May not necessarily be an insult or an attack, but it may just be nothing, no acknowledgement at all. Now does our mind react to that?
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, who's...
John. I definitely feel like I've gotten...
Yeah, okay, there, I see you, yeah.
Oh, hello.
Yeah, hey.
I definitely feel like I've gotten a lot out of the meditations on the different verses.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like I've gotten so much more out of trying to apply the meditations in daily samsara when being faced with, you know, various mm-hmm. challenges.
Yeah, yeah, that's definitely the goal. I mean, you know, we're not Buddhists because we want to become the best meditators. Meditation is a tool that so we can develop, you know, meditation is kind of a controlled environment. You know, we're on a cushion and everything. It's easy because the people aren't there. But we're developing skills that we can take off the cushion and use in our day-to-day life, where, you know, where the rubber meets the highway, so to speak. So that's great. Yeah, that's the whole way this should be done. You get familiar with in the meditation, then you take it into your daily life. Yeah. Great comment. And let's see. Okay. Helen says, again, my delusion is that I want feedback to help me choose the next gift. Did they even like it? Yeah, I feel, yeah. And then Linda says, practice of generosity, gift giving. Yeah, whether you get any feedback or not, if you practice it with generosity, you know, you've benefited incredibly. Yeah. Okay, so I think we'll wind things up there. Thank you, everyone. Let's do a very brief dedication. Acknowledge that we've become, you know, we've done something kind of neat. We've become more familiar with the 8 verses. A really practical, pithy teaching that we can go back to over and over again. And we've discussed it, and we've meditated, and may all this make impressions on our mind stream that we can take with us into our day-to-day life so that we can be of benefit to all sentient beings. So thank you, everyone. Looks like we're getting ready to have our daily 15-minute deluge here. Yeah, it's really clouding up. Everybody stay healthy. Have a good week. And next week we'll be back to talk about verse 7, which is Tonglen, if you're familiar with that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Good night. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Be safe.
Bye, everyone. Good seeing you.
Yeah, good seeing everybody.
Thank you, Linda.
Everyone. Bye, everybody. Thank you.
Healthy. Yeah.
Bye, Mojo. Bye, Mocha.
Yes, all sentient beings.
Have a good night.
Good night.